Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity that we've been able to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we're getting ready to enter into your courts with praise. You may be seated. I think it's safe to say that we've now entered through the gates. We've opened up our mouth, and we're reaching a point of that first item of furniture, the brazen altar. Now, this was the largest piece of furniture within the complex, but it was the furthest point at which an ordinary person was allowed into the presence of the Lord. I want us to remember an ordinary person at this point. Leviticus 1, 3 through 4 starts to give us an idea of what the brazen altar's purpose was, how you're supposed to approach it. It says, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, we're working through the tabernacle, and we're looking at it from a body, soul, and spirit approach. What has occurred here in Leviticus is the equivalent, or what you would experience in a body state, is constantly confessing what you've done wrong all day. How many times do we fall into the loop of, oh, messed up here. Oh, didn't do this right. Oh, man, I could have done this better. And those are all good things. We've got to evaluate what we're doing. But at the same time, we cannot get bogged down in what we're doing. And that's, the flesh can bog us down. It is, we've already talked about what the outer court was, how it can symbolize bones, skin. It's what's holding in all this furniture. It is what is reigning in the spirit. And as we will talk over the next couple days, and as we will move through the body, soul, spirit, and through the different furniture, we'll recognize that while we are the standard, just like the temple was the standard, the tabernacle was mobile. And it went out, and it was amongst the people, and that no longer is that spirit held behind anything within the temple or the tabernacle, but it's released. So, as a person coming to the brazen altar, you would have brought your sacrifice. You would have had to acknowledge what you had done. There were different sacrifices for different things. I can tell you a sad story of having to put we had a dog who was sick, having to put her down, and I can tell the emotional feeling I had of having to put my hand on her head and release her, and I wasn't doing it for a sin I had done. So I can't imagine having to do that today, of going and saying, this small innocent creature or this beast is taking my place about what I've done. And this wasn't just a elimination of your sin. All it did was pay it forward. Just rolled it back, pushed it down the line. You know, we like to use the expression kicking the can down the road. That's all it did. It was always accumulating. kind of like a landfill, never really decreases in size. It just continues to build up. And I don't know how it is in Malaysia and Singapore, but we have one in Columbus where I live, and it's just a mound that continues to grow. And it gets higher, and then they take dirt and they cover it. They cover up all the filth. Then they put a little bit more junk on top of it, and then they put another layer of dirt over it and just cover it up. But all the while, that hill is continuing to grow and continuing to mount up, and it just continues to build. There's no elimination of what goes on. Paul understood what was happening when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 7. He said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast been prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me to do thy will, O God." Romans, he went on to say that God hath set forth to be a propitiation or an atonement through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are in the past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he may be made just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he not only took the sin away and pushed it, he didn't just cover it up, but he completely eradicated it. And because of him, I have the ability to confess my sins, my shortcomings, my faults, my transgressions, and leave them at the brazen altar. They're not going to get covered up. It's not a place. I know for me, I have a hard time saying, oh, I was wrong, or maybe I didn't do that right. Does anybody else out there have a hard time saying, maybe that's not the way I should have approached that situation, or maybe I shouldn't have said that, or maybe I was too hard on Siobhan for jumping around and being a little girl and being excited. Confession's good for that. God honor this morning for jumping around and being excited for being here and getting ready to go to Singapore. But it is an opportunity. We kind of get it a little bit backwards. I think we've lost sight of what the tabernacle was and the safety that was there. We feel like we've got to keep these things hidden and that nobody can know, oh, I'm not perfect, that I've not built something. In the tabernacle time, everybody knew how bad your sin was, because when I walked up there with a giant ox, you know, oh man, David must have done something really bad. Let alone if maybe I just said, oh, well, I'm gonna skate around the rules a little bit, and maybe I'll only bring up a dove, because really, this is what I did, and then it led to all this stuff, so I'm just gonna bring up a dove right now, you know, so everybody doesn't know really how bad I messed up. And if you were at service on Sunday, you'll know that my pastor got up and spoke around confession and the power of confessing and bringing that out. That it's not something that we have to be ashamed of or scared of. There is a power in the transparency and the illumination of when you approach God open. We were called to be worshipers, and we're going through mind, body, soul, and we're going through what it means to have thanksgiving, praise, worship, we're called to be true worshipers, and that means approaching God with our hands wide open. We're exposed. We're completely in a surrender position when we approach the brazen altar. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hebrews goes on to say in 9:26, "Now once in the end of the world hath he prepared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Luckily, I no longer have to kill an animal or even die myself. He takes care of all of that. He does all the dirty work. He's already done all the dirty work. And that's why we can start to have thanksgiving at the altar, at a place of sacrifice, at a place of pain, at a place of suffering. We can start to thank the Lord for what he's doing. That's how the Lord works. There's always kind of a contradiction to what should be happening at a place and what is actually happening. And it's no different here at the Brazen Altar. I thank God for a place that I can put and burn all of my toxic waste. It's not just toxic to the world in general, it's toxic to myself to keep those things in. It's toxic to my family to keep those types of things in, to the church body. The Brazen Altar was a personal place. You walked up, it was you, you were doing that sacrifice, you placed your hand on it, you accepted it and understood there was a transfer that was happening. It forced you to acknowledge the cost of your sins, not just what you were bringing for that day, but it was a constant reminder of how many times have I been to the altar. I'm remembering all the other things that I've brought. And while I'm blessed to live in the dispensation of grace, and I don't have to bring my sacrifice to the altar, I don't have to go through the pain, and I'm sure it was not a pleasant experience, pleasant smells, anything like that, to go up to that. I often lose sight of what's really happening when I approach and build that altar within me. I lose sight of, you know, it's easy for me, oh Lord, forgive me for X, Y, Z. Oh Lord, forgive me for A, B, C. But it is important that we remember what the Lord did on Calvary and acknowledge the cost of my sin every time I pass by that cross. Every time I'm coming to the altar, I'm remembering what he's done, what I'm putting him back on the cross for. And that can be overwhelming at times. I know there have been times where I have done something, had a poor attitude, and I get in that frame of mind of, what have I done? You know, I'm the one that's nailing him to the cross. And, you know, it is, that can put you into an emotional state. That's the point. This is not something that's cavalier. The Brazen Altar was not something that you approached with joy. It was not something that you approached of, hooray, we're going to the Brazen Altar. This was a place that you were going to remember what you had done. And for us, we get to remember what he's done. In the Old Testament, it was about what I did. In the New Testament, it's about what he's done. And I'm thankful, and that's why we can approach the brazen altar with thanksgiving, and we can start to worship and praise him for that, that piece of furniture that we now have access to. Again, I'm an ordinary person. At the beginning, talked about this was a place where ordinary people could approach to bring their stuff, and that was it. That was as far as they got to go to. I don't think it was a coincidence that the brazen altar was the largest piece of furniture in the complex. I know God does everything for a reason, down to the very minute detail. There's nothing that is happenstance. There's nothing he's left to chance. I think he made the brazen altar the largest piece of furniture in the complex, because it was a promise that he was going to make that no matter what I bring to him, no matter how much, no matter how often I come to that altar, I'm going to be forgiven, and stuff's not just going to be pushed forward. It's not just going to be covered up, but it's going to be wiped away and eradicated. And that is something I am so thankful for. And when you get into that sense of thanksgiving, it allows us to approach how we handle others. The apostles asked Jesus, how many times do we forgive someone? He told us that I should forgive you 70 times 7 per day. That's a large number. I don't know that I have that many interactions with people in a single day that I could even, that were negative, let alone total experiences at all. So it's pretty much got it covered that anything that happens, you're going to be there. You know, we can read the scriptures about, would a father, when their child asks them for a piece of bread, give them a stone? We can go through those scriptures and we can say, how much more would our Heavenly Father? If he wants us to forgive 70 times 7 to each other, how much more is he going to forgive us? And how much opportunity do we have? It's not a coincidence that the brazen altar was so large. It is divine creation that he would say, I'm going to accept anything that you have to hurl at me, no matter how often. I'm there, we're going to burn it away. And when you enter into Thanksgiving, something starts to bubble up inside. And it is important that we acknowledge what's happened. Psalms 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou hast forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Salah. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. At the beginning, I mentioned that this was as far as an ordinary person was allowed to enter into the presence of God. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're not an ordinary person. We're a peculiar people. It goes as far as to say that we're a royal priesthood, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Sometimes we don't know how deep we have to go. But when we begin to offer up thanksgiving at the brazen altar and we begin to confess and place those things on the altar, something starts to bubble up inside of us, coming from our belly, the very depths of our being. we start to tap into something that has the power to eradicate our sins, faults, and shortcomings, and a transformation begins as the fire of thanksgiving and praise consume my offering, and those things put on the altar are no more. We can start with thanksgiving, and we're moving through, and now praise is starting to bubble up inside of us. And the Lord's preparing us to go deeper within body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to take a moment to start thanksgiving and start to enter into praise.
Thank you.